And that is why we can celebrate. Because this simple little phrase that angel had proclaimed is what changes everything for us. This is what separates Christianity from any other world religion. Who else serves a living God who once died in your place? You deserve the cross. I deserve the cross. Still do. But He counted us worthy. Amen. Amen. He took our place. And so this is the power of God. And this is the good news. You know, we call it the gospel, the good news. It's the resurrection. He's alive. This is our hope. Not simply Jesus who lived the perfect sinless life and died in my place. You know, we focus on the cross. It's that is not the gospel message. The gospel message is He's alive. He rose again. He defeated sin and death. Amen? Not just He lived the sinless life, He defeated sin. He was risen again in victory. Because if Jesus, God in the flesh, were simply to have lived the perfect sinless life and then willingly gave it away, paying the price for sin, I mean, that would be sufficient. He would have fulfilled every prophetic word. Well, yeah, I'm going to say it would have been sufficient. He would have fulfilled everything. He would have been the one sacrificial lamb made once and for all, paying the penalty for our sin, that through faith we would be saved. But there's so much more. I mean, our God is an extravagant God who wants to give us above and beyond the minimum requirements, right? You all know in school, whenever you have to do a 2-page essay, you know, or a 6-paragraph report, and man, you're counting down every paragraph, and as soon as you get to that last sentence, done, it's finished. Now, Jesus said it's finished, but He didn't mean the cross. He didn't mean the penalty. He knew it was coming here in 3 days. In fact, He told them several times beforehand what was coming in 3 days. It's finished. Above and beyond, extravagantly more than we could ever ask or imagine, more than we ever could deserve, God has given us. Because now we receive everything. We receive Himself. Literally, He gives us the Holy Spirit. That same Spirit that rose Jesus Christ from the grave, Jesus said that He had to die so that He could send it, so that His very presence could be with us. Because He lives, everything changes. Because He lives, everything changes for us. Life is new. And every morning you wake up, you can embrace that truth that you are a new creation. Past is gone, the old is gone, the new is here. Every single day is a new beginning for you because He lives, because He's alive. We don't just look up to the sky in whimsical hopes of, oh, if God, if you're out there and if you hear me. He lives, and He wants to prove that He lives, so He sent us His Spirit, His presence within us. Now, because He lives, literally everything changes. Because He lives, we have an intercessor who defends us day and night. Because guess what? The accuser never sleeps. Day and night, he stands accusing you of every one of your sins. Praise be to God, we have Jesus Christ because He lives as our defender before the Father, defending us day and night from the accuser. Because He lives, we have a living hope that nothing's too hard for our God. Amen? That nothing is ever too far gone. Even death is not the end for us. We win. We win. We have the victory. Because He lives, we know that neither sin nor even death can stop us. Death, sin cannot hold you down. I know that we get so ensnared and entangled in it and we feel like just giving up, like we're never going to overcome this thing. But because He lives, we know that we can do it through Him. Because He lives, we're never alone. If Jesus Christ never rose from the grave, you wouldn't have His presence with you. His promise that He will be with you even to the end of all days is certain. Do you know when He gave us that promise? After He rose again. To prove to us He is with us always. Always. We are never alone in this life. Because He lives, He's freely given us the gift of the Holy Spirit. And because He lives, everything's possible. Everything is possible, Jesus said, to him who believes. Who simply believes that Jesus Christ is who He says He was, and He'll do what He says He'll do. So how should we live? We should no longer live according to the death, clinging to that cross, you know, clinging to our old sinful self that was crucified on that cross. We shouldn't embrace that person, that old person. We want to embrace the new person we were created to be. That person that the Holy Spirit, it's this great spiritual theological term that we call regeneration. The Holy Spirit is making you into a new creation. And that's what we want to embrace. That person we're becoming. Not the person we are, not the person we've been, the person we are becoming. Isn't that exactly what got us into the mess in the first place, is embracing our old self? We don't want to go back there again. No, for us, we put our faith in Jesus and we live walking in the power and walking in the authority that Jesus Christ himself has freely given us. It says here in Romans chapter 8, verses 5 through 12, those who live according to the flesh, and that's whatever my flesh wants to do. It wants to do all kinds of nasty things. You got to just ignore it every now and then. Those who live according to the flesh have set their minds on what the flesh desires, but those who live in accordance with the Spirit have their minds set on what the Spirit desires. It's a battle in the mind. The battlefield of the mind. Joyce Meyer, do you want to pick that up? It's a good resource. Battlefield in the mind. The mind governed by the flesh is death. If you see things dying all around you and you wonder why life never goes the way you want it to, you might need a mindset change. It might still be governed by your old death fleshy self, but the mind governed by the Spirit is life and peace. The mind governed by the flesh is hostile to God. It does not submit to God's law, nor can it ever do so. When the world acts like the world, don't be surprised about it. They have no choice in the matter. They don't have the power that you have. They don't have the hope that you have to live differently. But if you have that same Spirit who rose Jesus from the grave living in you, things should be different. Things should be different. Those who are in the realm of the flesh cannot please God. You, however, are not in the realm of the flesh, but you live in the realm of the Spirit. And indeed, if the Spirit of God lives in you, and if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, they don't belong to Christ. It's just that black and white. But if Christ is in you, then even though your body is subject to death because of sin, and I can say amen to that. My pump's going off like crazy. This body, it's dying, you know. And that's all right, because I'm getting a new one. The Spirit gives life because of righteousness. And if the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus Christ from the dead is living in you, He who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies because of His Spirit who lives in you. You see, whenever I say that I'm receiving a new body, as all of us are, we think, oh yeah, on the day of the resurrection, you're going to get that new glorious body. My scriptures right there say that that Spirit that rose Christ from the grave wants to give life to my mortal body. Amen? Because by His stripes, we are healed. We are healed. What good is healing when you get your new body? You don't need it. Right? You don't need it. We need it here and now. I love that. The same Spirit that rose Jesus from the grave lives in us. I know Marie prayed this morning during worship. Man, if we could just grasp that reality. Because we walk around like Eeyore, getting kicked around by everybody and getting beat up by life. Why? That's not a person that has the Spirit that rose Jesus from the grave living in them, right? We need to remember who we truly are. We are victors, not victims. Right? When sin tries to tear us down, kick it in the teeth. You've got the authority to do it. You've got the authority to rise up above it. You've got to overcome it. And He would never ask you to do that if you couldn't. So what's our excuse for anything in life? Yes, we will face troubles. We will face hardships. Jesus did, and He lived the sinless life. People rose up against Him. People wanted to kill Him. Right? And He did nothing wrong, ever. And so, don't be surprised if that comes your way as well. You're going to face hardships and persecutions, but we endure them with perseverance, knowing these things will pass. Knowing that we will walk in the victory made possible by the resurrection. We walk filled with the resurrection power, and wherever you go, you carry it with you. That same Spirit that rose Jesus from the grave, that resurrection morning, He lives in you, and you carry Him wherever you go. The true altar that exists here in this world where heaven meets earth, it's right at the tip of your toes. That's the intersection of heaven and earth right there. According to His own word. Wow. I realize I have not started to wrap my mind around that yet. We carry it with us. In 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 through 9, Peter wrote and he said, pray. This is the same Peter, right, that denied Jesus three times. By how many times did the rooster crow? How many times did the rooster crow? I got all kinds of answers out there. Peter denied Jesus three times before the rooster crowed. Depends on which gospel you read, twice or once. You know, I love it. Classic eyewitness account, right? Anybody works in emergency services, okay, what happened here? Talk to different people who observed it. They're all going to give you a slightly different story. Don't you love that? When people, we talked about hearing God through people, when people copied the scriptures, they didn't say, whoa, wait a second, Matthew said that the quoting Jesus, Matthew said that the rooster would crow twice. Luke, I think it is, said that he'd crow once. Oh, well, we got to copy it over, right? You know, it is what it is. Okay, anyways, that's another message for another time. All right, but Peter wrote, praise be to God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, because in his great mercy, he has given us a new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance. See, there's more. There is more, an abundance more. And into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade. This inheritance is kept in heaven for you, who through faith are shielded by God's power until the coming of the salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time. In all this you greatly rejoice, though for now, for a little while, you will have to suffer grief and all kinds of trials. These things have come that the proven genuineness of your faith, of greater worth than gold, which perishes even though refined by fire, may result in praise, glory, and honor when Christ Jesus is revealed. Though you have not seen him, you love him. And even though you do not see him now, you believe in him and are filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy. For you are receiving the end result of your faith, the salvation of your souls. You are receiving it here and now. That's why we're filled with inexpressible joy. Because it's not of us, it's the Spirit doing a work inside of our lives, making our salvation realized. Is your life filled with that inexpressible and glorious joy? You can ask my wife, mine's not always. Actually, I'm thinking that lately it's been on the empty side. I'm in that red zone of the fuel tank here. Maybe not, but for us, when we set our minds on this reality, that these are light momentary troubles, they're passing away, and they don't even begin to compare to what we're receiving here and now, not just when we kick the bucket, here and now, then we are filled with an inexpressible joy, the fullness of our salvation, and it should be a joy. Death and grave could not hold Jesus down, and neither should anything be able to get us down. After all, the same Spirit who rose him lives in us. We have a living hope. Peter said we have a living hope. Why? Because our hope doesn't come from anything aside from Jesus himself. He is our living hope. He is our hope. The resurrection of Jesus, it wasn't something that we just heard about from a few women standing at the tomb. No, Jesus made sure that there was beyond a shadow of a doubt that he was risen from the grave. Not only that he died, but he conquered the grave and death itself. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 1 through 8. Now, brothers and sisters, I want to remind you of the gospel that I preached to you, which you received and on which you've taken your stand. By this gospel, you're saved if you hold firmly to the word I preached to you. Otherwise, you believed in vain. We don't want to believe in vain. We want to hang on to that faith, right? Through thick and thin, good times, bad times, we want to hold on to our Jesus, our salvation. For what I received, I passed on to you as of first importance, that Christ died for our sins, according to the scriptures, that he was buried, and that he was raised on the third day, according to the scriptures. That he appeared to Caiaphas, then to the 12. After that, he appeared to more than 500 of the brothers and sisters at the same time, most of whom are still living. Now, of course, they're not living today, not in this realm at least. It says, though some have fallen asleep. Then he appeared to James, then to all the apostles, and last of all, he appeared to me also. And that's Paul writing when he appeared to him on the road to Damascus. So although we so often focus on the cross, the death, the blood of Jesus, it is the resurrection that most impacts our lives today, today in the here and now. It is a having a relationship with the one true living God that changes everything for us. We don't just believe in Jesus who died a couple thousand years ago. We believe in Jesus who's alive today, here and now. He is alive. Jesus not only proclaimed this, but he also proved the powerful reality before he ever laid hands on the cross. And he said here in John chapter 11, verses 17 through 27, we heard the story, probably 100 times about the resurrection of Lazarus from the dead. And it says, on his arrival, Jesus found that Lazarus had already been dead in the tomb for 4 days. Now Bethany was less than 2 miles from Jerusalem, and many Jews had come to Martha and Mary to comfort them in the loss of their brother. When Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went out to meet him, but Mary stayed home. Lord, Martha said to Jesus, if you had been there, my brother would not have died. But I know that even now God will give you whatever you ask. And Jesus said to her, your brother will rise again. And Martha answered, I know he will rise again in the resurrection at the last day. Jesus said to her, and I'm telling you, he's telling all of us this morning, I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me will live even though they die. And whoever lives by believing in me will never die. Do you believe this? I'm telling you, I know we proclaim that we believe this, but when death is knocking on our door, you know, knock, knock, knocking. I'm telling you, we waver in our faith. We doubt that he is the resurrection. We believe, like Martha, that, oh yeah, on the last day, I'm going to be resurrected and everything's going to be made new. But do we believe that Jesus is the resurrection? Not only that he did resurrect and that he will resurrect, do we believe he's the same yesterday, today, and forever? Because that is what changes everything for us. That he is alive and that he is the resurrection and the life. So what do we believe about Jesus? Do we believe that he is who he said he was? Is our faith that great? It ought to be, and it needs to be. For that's how we see the miraculous happen in and through our lives. Because Jesus didn't deny this fact, but he proved that the resurrection should affect us, not only on the last day, but it should have a profound impact on our lives here and now. We should be living examples of the life that Jesus gives, the resurrection power that is within us. We should be living examples of that. People should be able to see us and see the evidence of the resurrection. Amen. He is. Is that because since he rose again, we live now resurrected. We have been brought from spiritual death to life. We have been made alive. We are a new creation, born again, is how Jesus said it. We live now resurrected, filled with the power of the one who rose Jesus from the grave. We live now resurrected, freely given the authority to overcome all things, to overcome them all. We live now resurrected, saved, healed, delivered, literally a new creation in Christ. We live now resurrected, rising above sin and the temptation of our flesh. But guess what? Even Jesus was tempted. He was tempted in the same way all of us are tempted. And that's another reason why we have a great hope, because he can help us to overcome those things. We live now resurrected, establishing God's kingdom here and now on the earth. Isn't that how Jesus taught us to pray? If I could have the worship team come forward. Isn't that how Jesus taught us to pray? We've all prayed for, like, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Wow. I tell you what. I've prayed before that every church across the world that traditionally says that every week, and they sound like a bunch of moaning drones, our Father, you know. I just pray that would just come to life. That God's kingdom would come, and that his will would be done here on the earth, even as it is in heaven. Because that is what the resurrection made possible. We live resurrected. We shouldn't just be looking forward to it when either he comes and raptures us home or when we kick the bucket. We should be living in that resurrection power and authority here and now. Because he lives, everything changes for us. And that's what we come together to celebrate here this morning. His life. Because he lives, everything changes. And I'm telling you, if you don't sense that everything has changed for you, just turn to him. And he'll change everything for you. Everything. Because Jesus is the resurrection. He is the life. Because he lives. But even as Jesus asked Martha this morning, I believe he's asking each of us, do we believe?